bill would be applied. And the basic idea would be to establish a system whereby local government would be allowed to identify marginal farm and forest lands, taking into consideration a number of factors, such as productivity, compatibility with farm and forest lands, historical use, ownership patterns, protection of wildlife habitat, etc. This would, however, beforehand require modifications to both Goals 3 and Goal 4, because I think, as Russ Nibon pointed out in his testimony to you a few days ago, it's necessary to consider the impact on Goal 4 as well as on Goal 3, but would require then LCDC to take some action with your direction to modify both Goals 3 and 4 to recognize marginal lands. As an alternative to the tests that are included within this bill. Then our particular proposal deletes all of the basic standards which were included within the earlier, within the draft of the bill that you are considering, for the reasons that we've already outlined here, and basically then would transfer a responsibility to LCDC to make modifications in the goals and to local government to go through a process of applying that, and of course having any comprehensive plan policies or amendments to ordinances be subject to review by LCDC in the normal sort of way. We also suggest, and this again appears on page 1 of the draft, a modification of the standard that says that uses 20 acres or more as a minimum lot size, but basically would permit division into parcels 20 acres or less. Of course, any division size as established would be subject to review and approval by LCDC as part of a comprehensive plan. We've also modified definitions of a couple of the terms dealing with contiguous and also the definition of relatives as part of that. We then have inserted within the first part of this ordinance or this draft of this bill some provisions which would apply to the utilization of marginal lands and forest zones, something which is not really included within the bill that you have before you. We have then on page 3, section 4 of the bill, basically used the same list of uses which have been applied in the bill for an EFU zone in conjunction with marginal lands, with the exception that that it would permit dwellings on less than 20 acres.
Representative Bradbury.
On page 2, you say permit part-time farms or woodlots, and on page 3, section 4, you say part-time farms. What is a part-time farm? I mean,
That's
a fair question, I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
According to statute, a part-time farm, I'd like to know what a part-time farm is.
I think the only intent of including something like this in here is to make it clear that agricultural operations which involve less than full-time practices would be something which would be acceptable in a marginal lands area, just to make that, to clarify that point.
Representative Trahan?
Representative Bradbury, a part-time farm is what we have in Southwest Oregon. They're certainly not full-time.
Well, I know some full-time farmers
in Southwest Oregon.
We're talking about the farmers, not the farmers.
Okay. And to go on, in Section 5 of this bill, just one line in this bill, but it would repeal the existing lot of record law. That's something that the present bills do not do. Of course, the existing lot of record law is supposed to sunset within another 2 years anyway. And then under Section 7 would replace that with a new definition of lot of record. Many of the provisions of which are the same as in the present definition and of which are the same in the draft that you have. But instead of going with the 2 acres or smaller definition, such as Senate Bill 237 proposes, we're suggesting a maximum lot size of 5 acres, so that we would take into consideration, one, the way in which a particular parcel might be developed today, including the siding of the buildings and outbuildings and so forth on that property, and also to provide a little bit greater degree of flexibility where you might run into subsurface sewage disposal problems, where perhaps 2 acres would be insufficient for that purpose, but to provide a degree of greater flexibility in that kind of situation. The next, I think, major consideration within our bill would appear on pages 5 and 6 of the draft that you have, and deals with the amendments to ORS 215-213. One, some modification in the language with regard to the to dwellings provided in conjunction with farm use. Two, going back to the present statutory definition as it relates to the provision of private parks, playgrounds, and campgrounds, so that the language within the law would be the same as in the present EFU provisions within the ordinance, and also recognition that secondary dwellings in conjunction with farm use being a conditional use within a EFU areas. Otherwise, that section of the bill would be the same.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bradbury.
I'd like to ask a question about this lot of record in an EFU zone. Do you have any data that would show how many parcels would be able to spring up in the middle of farms if we allowed this 5-acre figure?
I don't think that information has ever really been put together, to my knowledge.
Well, it seems like a fairly critical issue if you're trying to protect farm use in an exclusive farm use zone. I mean, that's the purpose of an exclusive farm use zone.
The practical impact of the bill, of the legislation that we have on the books today, has been virtually nil. And we feel a basic need to provide some greater degree of flexibility in that area.
The lot of record bill is presently
right,
on the books.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'd like to see some data on what you're doing when you say 5 acres, because it's my understanding that you're going to get just an absolute mess in terms of farmers being able to farm if you go to 5 acres. Now, I'd like to see some data that proves otherwise.
To get at that, the difficulty would be to figure out not only how many 5-acre parcels exist in EFU areas, but exactly when they were created.
Okay.
And that, you know, that's, you're talking about extensive research in that area. I think the 5 acres we were looking at wasn't so arbitrary as it was the solid waste
septic tank
considerations. As you know, to get the drain fields and all of that laid out, that 2 acres in many cases will not qualify. And so you're talking about giving somebody a right that they can't use. One of the things about a lot of record, just historically, we were looking, and we have always favored the provision that was fair, and the reason the dates are here, because we think they are fair, the dates between 48 and 78, because people were under the assumption that when they received approval for a petition, that they could build. And they could, that day, when they received it up to 78, they could have easily gone in and got a building permit. But we took that right away from them, legislatively, and we're part of a lot of record is not trying to give somebody something they didn't have. It's trying to honor what we already gave them. That's one of the difficulties with it. But I mean, just so it's not something we're creating. It's new, in our opinion. It's something we're honoring that we granted to them some time ago and we took away from them later on. That's a real issue.
I recognize that. I also recognize the real goal of exclusive farm use zoning, which is to maintain commercial farms in a way such that they're able to continue to farm. And I think that I don't know. I don't want to get in an argument with you about it, but I'll be very frank with you. If I had my way, there would be no lot of record in exclusive farm use. I mean, I may not be fair, but it makes good sense for the future of this state.
Yeah, And we don't know what the impact would be of 5 acres, 4 acres, 3 acres, 2 acres, to be honest with you. We just think that five is a more practical thing without consideration of doing a lot of research as to how many there actually are.
I think the other point is that it does function as a safety valve, too, because, you know, people have acquired property in good faith in the past. It and without this type of a safety valve in here, then the pressures to make further modifications in EFU will increase. I mean, the pressure will be there to do that, and this, I think the basic intent is to provide a safety valve for the system where people have acquired property in good faith in the past.
I guess the balancing that we're confronted with here is providing a safety valve on one hand to those people who purchase property in good faith, and making sure that farmers can still farm on the other. And that's the balance that I really find very difficult to make in this instance.
Yeah, and some of the other tests here on contiguous ownership and relatives, those have made it extremely difficult to qualify. As I said, the dates that you put forth last session, the 10 years, allowed 25 parcels to qualify statewide.
Yeah, I'm not defending last session's lot of record, Bill. I understand the problems with it, but I just have some problems with as it impacts exclusive farm use zones.
We have been told 25 lot of records were allowed in the last year and a half, or whenever it went into effect.
Yeah, that's our understanding, too. The report.
Where did those figures come from?
Those figures were requested by myself from Land Conservation and Development Commission. That information had been reported to them. I could bring you the documentation of that. I didn't bring it with me
today.
Well,
I guess what I'm questioning, I mean, I not so much the figures as they have, what, 2 more years to declare a lot of record under the current provisions, so that we don't really know. I mean, 25 have happened so far, but there could be a number of people that come forward in the next 2 years.
Let me just relay to you just our own history in terms of dealing with this bill as a practitioner in the field. We have approved one in our county. We account for 4% of the statewide total. And we have denied a number of those. The present legislation, basically, I think counties have looked at it slightly different, but as we interpret the bill, there are basically 8 tests within the present lot of record bill, all of which have to be affirmative. It's very, very unusual for a person to be able to meet 8 different tests. The reaction, the public reaction to that has been very negative, because people were led to believe that there was a safety valve provided during the last session, and the practical impact has been some very irate people that we've had to deal with when they find, when we establish that test that there's no way they can get through it. I think that from a public reaction point of view, I think the present process has been exceptionally negative. And that's basically the same kind of story I hear from other counties.
Representative Hill and then Representative Anderson.
No, I didn't have my hand up.
I'm sorry, Representative Anderson.
I wonder if the committee might have staff contact the department and see if they could make some estimates on what the differences would be between, well, I guess we've only had the 2 proposals of 2 acres and 5 acres in EFU of allowing those, whether they have some estimates by region, not just statewide or like Willamette Valley, Southern Oregon, Eastern Oregon would be good enough, but what this would do, whether or not it's going to create problems. Or
is there someone from the department from LCDC?
Wait,
oh, okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bradbury.
It's my understanding that I think Clackamas County has their entire land use thing computerized, so it might be a good place to check. In terms of, I don't know if that's true or not, I just heard that.
I think that's true.
I think you can do a very rapid computer sort on their parcels and come up with something.
in...
Marvin, sorry.
Okay, I wanted to make a couple more points here with regard to our proposed modifications. On page 10 of our proposal, on page 8 in section 10 of the proposal, we are suggesting, this is for, with regard to non-farm dwellings, the present bill permits non-farm dwellings on parcels in capability classes 4 through 8. We're suggesting that that be modified so that it would be classes 3 through 8 soil capability, based partly on the premise that there are a lot of areas that are class 4 that are basically not suitable for septic tank or this that for subsurface sewage disposal systems. In our county, for instance, there are some rather substantial areas of class 4 soils where making a change of this nature would really have very little significance. And we felt that to provide a degree more of flexibility in the law, I suggested changing that to class, using class 3 as the base rather than class 4. Those are, I think, a quick summary of the basic proposals that are here. I want to make just 2 points in closing. One, we are really afraid that the bill in its present form will have, could very likely have the same impact statewide that the present lot of record bill has had, that it really will not represent any great relief in any part of the state in practice, certainly not in the western part of the state, and very likely not in the rest of the state as well. And I know from the publicity that has, at least that our county has been made aware of, when the Senate passed the bill, the media presentation of the passage of that bill has already led a lot of people to believe that's the greatest thing that's ever happened. And we know that our experience with it will be that this will not be the case, and we're afraid that this is likely would be the reaction statewide. And I think that then the counter reaction to that, I think there would be some substantial concern. Second point I would like to make is that we would be more than happy to participate in any kind of group that would be put together if you are looking for that kind of assistance to try to arrive at, to help arrive at some kind of a marginal lands bill that would be effective. We'd certainly make ourselves available to assist.
Can I make just a couple quick comments, Chairperson Hooley, before I leave? Representative Bradbury, I wanted to point out on page 5 there where the single family dwelling on less than 2 acres is pointed out. One of the tests for that that's on page 6, lines 1 and 2, is that it will not force a major change or majorly increase the cost of farming practices, so we would be required to be careful in how we granted those. So that is a test, and it's potential interference with other farms that are in the EFU, at least as it's now.
Is this in your amendments?
I'm sure that test is retained in the amendment.
Okay, so you're referring to A or B.
Back to the 2 versus the 5 acre impact that we were talking about just a little while earlier, that if you changed on the bill itself, page 5, the 2 acres to 5 acres on line 39, it would still be one of the tests for us as to whether or not there'd be any major change or majorly increase the cost of accepted farming practices. We would retain that test.
Well, now, are there tests on lot of record?
This is, we were talking about 2 to 5 on this one. A lot of record, no. This is where we got into
so
the
issue. So this is non-farm dwellings?
Right.
Yes. In an EFU zone?
That's correct. Non-farm dwellings.
The bill presently provides for 2 acres?
The 2 acres or less, and we were suggesting a change to 5.
Oh.
Not a lot of record, but the same issue we were talking about with respect to acreage. Just to summarize where we're coming from, I think Marv's amendments carry it out. We stated verbally, it's in our testimony as well, that I guess we're looking at trying to take, instead of the arbitrary standards in the bill, attempting to have the department and the commission do that by rule, by goal amendment. I think Marv mentioned goal 3 and 4 amendments. That would be one way to do it. Rule would be another way. A new goal would be another way. The point is, we think they're in the best position of being able to make a determination of what constitutes marginal lands. They've seen it enough, certainly, in their reviews, and they can take into account the geographical differences. We are not concerned that this happened tomorrow, or for that matter, until after July of 84. For that matter, until next session. Give them the time so they don't. We do not conflict with their busy schedule as it is. We think it's important enough, and we think it's critical enough to be field tested that they are in the best position to do it. We don't want to overburden them at a time when we're trying to reach some kind of deadline. That's one aspect of it. We think you ought not deal with tightening down, at least to the extent that you proposed or is proposed in this bill, what's happened in EFU. If we can find an acceptable way to deal with marginal lands, then I agree we should figure out further protections. But I'm concerned that this does not provide marginal lands. At the same time, it really constricts what can occur in EFU. And it's deceptive in that particular standpoint. I think a lot of records somehow needs to be dealt with reasonably. And we're offering some suggestions here. We're obviously willing to work on that. And I would hope that whatever we come up with in the way of a system in terms of how counties may make application, you will always have LCDC review, but we propose, instead of sending this special category of lands, however they're defined, to LCDC for approval, that we do it through the plan amendment process. You know, that's been our consistent position. We suggested to you a periodic review ought to be that way, but that's one method we would hope would be outlined here as the method we would deal with these lands. And I leave it at that, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Madam Chair, could I have just ask one question?
Certainly. Representative Bradley.
Gordon, I have a handout from Association of Oregon Counties. I guess it's just an analysis of Senate Bill 237A-7, a three-page analysis.
Yes.
That you handed out.
Yes.
Are these still concerns of yours here? And this draft addresses those concerns, but these are also your concerns.
Yeah, these are the more general problems and solutions we gave to you early.
Okay.
Had your first hearing. We're now offering, I think Marv, in his recent draft handed in today, the way we would legislatively deal with that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Scott Ashcombe.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Scott Ashcombe with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. The Oregon Farm Bureau Federation, with more than 11,000 member families statewide, supports 237 with Farm Bureau Policy 067 and 069, and by action of our Board of Directors on May 18th. The amendments we propose today derive either from our board's action on that date or from Farm Bureau policies. The problems which SB 237 attempts to solve are problems addressed in the report of the Governor's Task Force on Land Use Planning. Fundamentally, these problems may be described as A, the problem of too much land, often unproductive land, having been included in EFU zones. B, the problem of the SES's soil classification system having been used by planners as the only criteria for inclusion in an EFU zone, which caused the problem described in A. And C, the problem of non-farmers or hobby farmers taking advantage of our state's revenue statutes in order to receive farm use assessment while undertaking non-farm activities which interfere with bona fide farm production farming in the area. Farm Bureau supports 237 because it attempts to put to rest these problems. Our first proposed amendment is almost trivial. We ask your committee to amend the B engrossed version of the bill, dated June 9th, by adding a comma after the last number, which is 215-214 on line 2, then deleting the word and at the beginning of line 3 and inserting the phrase 215-406 before the semicolon. I'll elaborate on this later when we come to the amendment itself. On page 2, line 2, we request that your committee delete the word did and the phrase make a significant contribution to, and insert the word is between the words land and not, then insert the phrase part of between the words not and A. Line 2 should then read, and I quote, B, the land is not part of a farm operation, which produced 20,000 gross, and so forth. And explaining the reason we propose this amendment. Please refer to the chart of average farm sizes by county below. The language now on line 2 of page 2 would allow county governments to break up EFU zones in eastern and southern Oregon particularly by permitting rangeland to be classified as marginal, even if that land were capable of sustaining cattle as part of a grazing operation or grazing rotation. For example, in Harney County, where the average ranch size must be over 4,200 acres, a future county government could declare half the ranch marginal because it was on class 6 and 7 soil predominantly, and site index 85 for timber, and permit a subdivision there. All the county would need to show is that the 2,000 acres proposed for the subdivision had not made a, quote, significant contribution, end quote, to the income of the ranch. If the rancher had been ill or for any other reason had not used that part of his ranch in his grazing rotation in the past few years, the parcel might well meet the criteria by the standards of the present bill. Our proposed amendment would close that loophole. On page 2, line 5, we ask your committee to amend the bill by deleting the number 100 and inserting in its place the number 1,000. In our view, the 100-acre minimum requirement to meet the marginal lands criteria is far too low. Especially in eastern Oregon, the 100 figure is unrealistic, for the average farm size is over 2,400 acres. We feel that the 100-acre figure may have been an oversight, one which was not thoroughly thought out. Our forestry committee went over the definition of marginal lands in great detail for 4 hours and agreed that a 1,000-acre minimum should be required. The change made in line 5 should also be made in line 8. But from this point, we propose no changes until page 5, where we ask the committee to delete the word major before the word change. Farm Bureau policy supports this clarification of the interference criteria for non-farm uses in EFU zones under conditional use. Our proposed amendment merely removes a source of potential confusion. We can foresee hobby farmers appealing sound land use decisions by county governments on the basis that their interference with surrounding farm practices was not, quote, major. Our proposed amendment, by deleting the word major, allows county governments to deny permits for non-farm activities in EFU zones if they interfere with farming by forcing any detrimental change in the farmer's practice, whatever. On page 6, line 1, we request that your committee delete the word major before the word change, and on line 2, we request that you delete the word nearby and insert after the word lands the phrase, and I quote, within 2 miles of the proposed dwelling, so that line 2 would then read, increase the cost of accepted farm practices on lands within 2 miles of the proposed dwelling. Once again, the reason for this was that our board of directors felt that the word nearby was unclear and could foresee the potential for lawyers appealing a land use decision by arguing about the meaning of nearby. By replacing that word with the phrase within 2 miles, our board felt that much ambiguity and potential litigation would be eliminated. Finally, we request that your committee amend page 7 of the bill by inserting before section 7 the following section. Section 7, ORS 215-406 is amended to read. And then we have the present language, if you refer to the proposed amendment, the present statutory language in sections 1 and 2. And the new wording, this deals with hearings officers that the counties may appoint. The new wording in the section is that we propose to be added and ask that you add section 3, each county governing body shall appoint a panel of 3 or 5 full-time commercial farm operators selected from a list of qualified farm operators prepared by the agricultural extension agent for the county to serve as hearings officer with all the powers and duties of a hearings officer to review permits for development on land zoned for exclusive farm use under ORS 215, 203, and 263. The Oregon Farm Bureau Board of Directors.
Representative Precinct.
I'd just like to comment. From time to time, this idea of a committee of farmers is raised, and it somehow it seems to be not too popular to receive. It's just a tremendous idea to have public popular participation like that. And I just want to underscore the idea that I agree with the Farm Bureau.
Madam Chair.
Representative. Parkinson's.
Would only landowners be allowed to participate, Representative Priestley?
Suggestion here is
no, you could be a leasing farmer.
I'll continue my testimony in elaboration of the final proposed amendment. The Oregon Farm Bureau Board of Directors, our Legislative Action Committee, and our Tax Committee all agreed to request that amendment. In the view of the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation, probably no single improvement to our land use laws would eliminate more difficulties than the establishment of a farmer panel to serve as hearings officer for permits and contested cases involving lands inside exclusive farm use zones. The production farmers who live in exclusive farm use zones have a single common interest, a profitable environment for farming without interference from non-farm uses. This is not to say that differences of interest do not exist among farmers in EFU zones, but only that these differences are usually much less than differences in EFU zones between farmers and non-farmers. A farmer panel hearings officer would aid greatly the protection of our farm resource for farm uses. In addition, farmers serving on such a panel would receive one of the most valuable educational experiences of their lives, an education in our land use laws. This, we feel, was the spirit of Goal 1, citizen involvement. The term local control does not mean control by local government. It means control by farmers themselves.